An injury update on Marcus Crawley and Mitchell Melton, Ryan Day's approach to NIL, and how the Las Vegas Raiders plan to use their Munford, your boy Q, the host of Locked On Raiders, will fill us in on that. You can hear all that right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Monday, May the 9th in the year 2022, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen of every single day. Marcus Crawley, Mitchell Melton, two players that are looking to play this year that had hopes to be a bigger piece of the pie than they have been previously at Ohio State, and two players that are currently dealing with injuries. One medically retired, the other will miss the entire 2022 college football season. Marcus Crawley, you all may remember him, or I do, the Maryland game during the 2019 season, 8 carries, 82 rushing yards, 10.3 yards per pop, and one trip to Pater. I mean, he in the second half, the youngsters got the play, and he was one of the people that you thought at some point could be a starter at Ohio State because he showed some signs of growth during that game. 2020 happened, injuries happened. Last year happened, he got injured during the bye week, of all things, as unfortunate and as abnormal as that is. And then now, at this point in time, he has decided it's time for him to medically retire from the game of football. If you remember now, earlier this year, the term medically retiring was used with Harry Miller. Harry Miller, not an injury on the field, but more so mental health issues and suicidal thoughts that he had, where he went to Ryan Day, and Ryan Day quickly, instantaneously assisted him to get Harry Miller the help that he needed, just like Marcus Crawley, but it's a different thing, mental health versus a physical injury that you have. But it's still medically retiring from a game, football, basketball, if you have to retire from your job, that is a little bit different than football. But still, if you love what you do, and for some reason outside of your control, you have to retire at an earlier age than you planned due to some things going on with you, it's a weird feeling. It's not fun. Everybody, a lot of these athletes have dreams and aspirations to potentially play in the National Football League at some point. I believe Marcus Crawley at some point said, hey, I want to play in the National Football League. I want to play at the highest level. How about I go to Ohio State to help me accomplish that goal? It's unfortunate that the injuries that he has, that he's had throughout his career at Ohio State, keep lingering. And when he thinks he's healthy, another injury comes up. When he thinks he's healthy, another injury comes up. At some point, things are so severe, you just got to call it quits earlier than expected. That's where he is right now, which is unfortunate because I do think he could have been a third running back on this team. As talented as this group is, he could have been RB3 on this squad and potentially got some run this year. So, you hate to see it. It sucks, but sometimes it's the best decision for you to medically retire from the game. Mitchell Melton. Many of you have been looking and wondering, and I've seen you guys on the Twitter and sometimes in the comments talk about Mitchell Melton and how he could be a defensive end or a linebacker or the hybrid linebacker position, whichever one really the team needs him the most. Hybrid linebacker was probably the most ideal spot for him with Jack Sawyer, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Caden Curry, and Mitchell Melton kind of being in the running to get some run at that position. But Mitchell Melton is going to miss the upcoming season as well. Now, this is just a one-year type of thing for Mitchell Melton as he tore his ACL during a spring game this past year, during the spring game a few weeks ago, almost said a month ago, but it's a few weeks ago now. Something else that's unfortunate, because I do remember many people, and I want to reiterate this once again, many of you listening to this podcast right now or watching us on YouTube have said, Mitchell Melton, get on the field. Mitchell Melton needs to be on the field or something along those lines. These injuries, man, they suck. It could also give you a wake-up call because sometimes injuries, as hard as they are, as mentally taxing and how much of a mental toll they take on you, as
much as it's going to be weird for him to sit on the sidelines knowing he can't even put the uniform on with the shoulder pads and the pants to go on the field and play, this could ultimately help a person do more off the field, be a coach off the field, be someone that can learn more about the team so that when he gets his chance to get on the field, he can shine right away. And that, I think, is the proper way to tackle this. Now, you have to do your rehab. You have to go through. He still has to go to class. He still has to do all of these things that a student athlete who is recovering from injury needs to do to get back on the field or get back participating in the sport that they play. But then we think about the football aspect of this. You think about someone like yourself that maybe you had to be sidelined, maybe not literally sidelined on the field, but maybe you had to be sidelined about doing certain things, and you had to be somebody that had to find different ways to keep yourself fresh and ready so that when you are ready to get back in play, whatever you're doing, you're ready to do that thing. And we know with Jim Knowles, a new defense, we know with Larry Johnson, different things going on with the defensive line, they're going to be looking for those guys that can be coaches on the field, coaches off the field, that can assist other people to learn and to adjust and to be the best they can be while they're playing the football. And I do think Mitchell Melton, if he takes advantage of this extra time that he has, if he takes advantage of the different things that are in front of him, the resources that he has, the film, talking to the coaches, all of the things that maybe he could spend more time doing now than he could when he was healthy and playing the football, take advantage of those things now. That's a great way next year when you're fully recovered, when you are healthy, to get back on the field and to be the best Buckeye you can be. Summer is right around the corner, and with summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you are fueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars, they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to built.com and order now. All Built Bars and Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built Bar, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Have you tried the Built Puffs yet? We are going crazy for the Puffs. They come in crazy flavors like banana cream pie and even churro. Who doesn't want a protein bar that tastes like a churro? And they're only 140 calories. Sign me up. Go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. So late last week, I think some of you guys may have realized this. I was informed there is a community tab on the YouTube page. Had no idea it was there. The community tab is for those that are subscribers to the Locked On Buckeyes YouTube page, only them. There will be different polls that I will run. I ran a couple polls over the weekend, different posts. If a recruit commits to Ohio State, we'll try to do some things there. May try to run some questions or have some different stats or just have some different conversations between you and I. This is only for subscribers. So go to the Locked On Buckeyes podcast YouTube page, just Locked On Buckeyes on the YouTube. Hit subscribe. There are a couple polls. The first poll, there were 120 of you that voted. The second poll, 121 of you voted. The first two polls are about Ohio State wide receivers in the National Football League. Well, one's about the receivers in the National Football League. The other one's about rookies that were recently Buckeyes who will make the biggest splash their rookie season in the National Football League. So go to the podcast page, subscribe. The community tab is where we're going to have some conversations, the discussions that only you and I have that are subscribers. Oh yeah, it's free. Absolutely free. Just no reason for you to dodge this opportunity to talk and communicate with Buckeye fans all across the world. Name, image, and likeness. It's not going anywhere. No matter what you think, no matter what your viewpoint is about players being able to sign what are called endorsement deals or what are endorsement deals, this isn't going anywhere. And I honestly still think, as someone in the YouTube comments thinks is different, I think this is good for the players. I think this is a great idea for the players. I think it should have happened a long time ago. But then you have people that, or schools that will use boosters or that will use different things to lure athletes, recruits, and transfers to schools using money to get them to come to campus. Some are saying USC is doing this right now. Some are saying Miami is doing this right now. Some are saying schools in the South are doing this right now. Texas, you're not exempt. We know y'all are doing this right now. Now think about going a little bit further previously. We all know about the University of Tennessee and the McDonald's bags that they had there, giving recruits, high school recruits, bags of money, McDonald's bags full of money when they came to campus on their visits. I don't think they got punished for that. We all heard about Sean Miller, former Arizona Wildcats basketball coach, paying DeAndre Ayton out of his own pocket. Well, Sean Miller ended up getting fired, and now he's back coaching at, I believe, not Akron, Xavier. I knew it wasn't Akron. Now coaching at Xavier. We hear about coaches and money and schools and all this kind of jazz all the time. I even heard about different shoe companies at AAU tournaments in basketball assisting and helping kids go to certain schools. I mean, I've heard about all these things, just different stories that I hear through the grapevine. But what's Ryan Day's approach to all this? We hear about what's going around, what's happening around the entire country. We hear about different schools that don't really care about following the rules because the NCAA is not enforcing said rules. What is Ryan Day's approach about this? Well, he had an interesting comment about NIL, and I do think it speaks volumes into how he is approaching this very topic. Quote, "I think there's risk everywhere. There's risk if you do nothing, you get left behind. If you go the other end, there's risk that you could get fired for crossing the line. So finding that sweet spot is where the challenge is, right? And when there aren't clear-cut rules or rules that are being enforced, then it creates hard feelings and unrest. And I think it's where we are right now." Do you know the rules about NIL? Think about it. I'm not trying to be like sarcastic, facetious, or anything. Literally think about it. If you're in your car, if you're at the gym, if you're at work, wherever. Do you know the rules about NIL and how a school can use NIL money deals to their advantage? Are there gray areas? Are there areas that the NCAA has not enforced? Is the NCAA planning on enforcing rules soon that they don't really enforce? I mean, I think all of these questions are things that we can all ask ourselves in regards to this, because the one rule is boosters can't give. I mean, there's rules for boosters, there's rules for schools. But in an era where even the head coach at one of the biggest and best football programs in the entire country says there are gray areas, there are risks, there are rules, but there aren't rules, I am glad that Ryan Day is taking this approach. You have to do certain things to make sure kids are taking advantage of every avenue, legal avenue under the NCAA that they can. And if it means taking advantage of making money, so be it. If it's a car dealership giving somebody a car, great. If you're in a commercial, great. If you're getting a deal with Lamborghini, as I heard a Texas running back has to deal with Lamborghini, or if you're DJ Uiagalelei, who is in Dr. Pepper commercials, great. I have no problem with that. But when it comes to coaches bringing recruits in and transfers in and the ability or possibility of using money to lure them in, there might be a gray area there. And the area of taking caution, not too much caution, just enough caution, going right up to the line but not crossing said line or stepping on the line, I think that is wise and there is wisdom in that. The one thing I am curious is, with Ohio State having two what are called collectives, I wonder how much or if they will try to use Ohio State's backing and use Ohio State to lure recruits in with money and with deals. Now, these are companies that can assist these young men in getting NIL deals after, once they're at Ohio State, not before, or not to get them to Ohio State. So there's rules for everything. Some schools are using collectives while during the recruiting process. Is it wise? I don't know. We all know the rules. But if the NCAA does not enforce them, or if they're saying they're going to enforce them, but people don't think they're going to enforce them, what's going to stop people? This has been going on for decades, where recruits have been bought for decades. Yes, decades. And the moment that it's legal, people are getting a little bit of sticker shock, it's normal. It's absolutely normal to get sticker shock when you think about it. If you hear about a kid signing a $2 million deal, or a $1 million deal, or a $500,000 deal, as an 18-year-old kid, sticker shock, baby, it happens. I'm sure the same thing's happening to Ryan Day. And I'm sure Ryan Day is a coach that is trying his best to use everything he can, legally can, to bring recruits to Columbus. That's his job, right? Utilize your resources. Utilize everything you can. Tap into different things that you didn't know you could tap into. Make a phone call and say, hey, man, can you assist me? The next thing you know, you have assistance in a way that you never thought you would have while at a school. Ryan Day's approach, I like it. The one thing I'm curious is, how soon will college football break off from the NCAA? Will it ever break off from the NCAA? What rules will the NCAA decide to enforce that's not enforcing now? What rules will the NCAA make soon that will assist in giving more clarity to people like Ryan Day when it comes to NIL? This is an interesting time to live in. I would love to just only talk about the NIL deals that are being signed, those that are from those players that are part of the foundation that Cardale Jones recently started. I would love to talk about only the positive things, but unfortunately, with these gray areas and sometimes some negative topics to talk about, we got to talk about those too. NIL, I like it. I do enjoy it. Ryan Day, I think he enjoys it for the youngsters as well. I just think he wants more clarity. I think a lot of you want more clarity in this area as well. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And joining us now here on Locked On Buckeyes, it is your boy Q. He is the host of Locked On Raiders Q. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun to join you and talk a little football with you. Raider football, Buckeye football, it's all good.
Yes, it is. We got to love football season. It's the off season for some, but for us around here, we all know the grind never stops. Q, Thayer Munford, newly drafted pick by the Raiders.
Yep.
But it was late in the draft, 7th round. 238th overall. I got a text. I'm going to tell a little story for you. I got a text on Saturday. I was actually at a funeral, and this person knew I was at a funeral. They were asking, has Thayer Munford got drafted yet? Now, I think we're about the 5th or 6th round on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I said, no, not yet. And they were shocked that Thayer Munford was still on the board. What was your thought when you saw Thayer Munford get snagged by the Raiders in the 7th round?
Well, you know, it was funny because he had kind of slipped my mind because, you know, the Raiders were already past the 4th, 5th round where most people projected him to go. So I wasn't really even thinking about him at the point. He kind of, you know, like I said, slipped my mind and was off the radar. And then when all of a sudden he was announced in the 7th round, I was like, damn, he's still on the board. Like, I missed him being selected by another team. So I was like, wow, he's still on the board. Okay, that's interesting, you know, and then I started to do a little bit of research and I thought, okay, well, he's a tackle. They announced him as a tackle, but I know he kicked inside the guard and he played that. And so I just started thinking about what this new regime with the Raiders are trying to do this year, and everybody that they're bringing in, they really have multiple roles that they want to play. It's something that GM Dave Ziegler's talked a lot about, is that the more versatility that you have, the more different positions you could play, the better shot you have of earning a spot on this team and being more valuable. And so value and versatility are two words that this new regime has talked about quite a bit. And I mean, all you got to do is look at New England and see all the versatile guys that they had there. And so they're bringing that style to Las Vegas. And so One, I just thought, okay, they got him in the seventh. I don't know how they hit him like that, but what an opportunity. You know, maybe they could find a diamond in the rough. Last year, it wasn't this regime, but the Raiders found a diamond in the rough, in my opinion. Jimmy Morrissey, he was a center out of Pitt, and they found him in the seventh round, and I thought, man, this guy's actually going to make the team, and then the Texans stole him off the practice squad, and so now he's their center in Houston. So I'm thinking, man, could they strike gold twice and get another player that's versatile like that in the seventh round and at the very end of the day has some depth? You always need depth at the offensive line. So I think that they got themselves something to work with. You know, obviously it's up to Mumford to go out there and earn his spot, but I think that they really found a little diamond in the rough in the seventh round when Mumford was still available.
Possibility of a diamond in the rough is amazing. I'm going to do a little twisting here. If he's so versatile and he's something that the Raiders are looking to put on their roster, not just with Mumford, but other players there, why didn't they get him earlier?
Exactly. Exactly. That's a big question. But the one thing that I know about this new regime is that they're very hell-bent on sticking to their board, and the value of the pick is what they're looking for. So clearly Mumford has some room to grow, or else he wouldn't have been a seventh round pick. He would have been a third or fourth round pick. You know what I mean? So he's got a lot of things that he's got to do, as you know. But I just think that the clay is there. You know what I mean? They have the clay where they can mold something if possible. If he's moldable, if he's coachable, if he's a guy that's willing to learn, I think that there's something there. But I think they also looked at it and said, okay, the value's not there to get him in the fourth round, but if he's still around in the seventh, we'll go and make that move. You know, the thing about the Raiders draft class is pretty funny. They got two offensive linemen, two defensive linemen, and two running backs. That was their six picks that they had in the draft. They were all in twos. I kept calling it like Noah's Ark. You know, they all came in twos. But if you look at all those guys, they all have versatility. Every one of them, all six of the guys, have different roles that they could play. So, again, I just think that they saw Mumford as a guy that if he's around in round seven, instead of just picking a throwaway pick, they're going to pick a guy that they feel like they can get something out of. And that's not just a special teamer. I think that, you know, Mumford, obviously being on the offensive line, has some real value if he works out.
Based on the team needs right now, do you see him more playing guard or tackle for the Las Vegas Raiders?
That's a great question, because they need, in my opinion, they need a right tackle. They drafted Alex Leatherwood in the first round last year at number 17 overall to be the right tackle. They kicked him inside the guard. I've been pounding the table the whole offseason for a veteran right tackle to play next to Alex Leatherwood, let him stick at that right guard spot. But from all sounds and indications, it sounds like they're going to give him another opportunity to play tackle. So they went and got Dylan Parham in round three, who's an inside offensive lineman. He could play center. He could play guard. So, okay, you know that they're working on the interior. If they bring Alex Leatherwood and kick him back outside to tackle, okay, is he there? Is a guy like Mumford a guy that can compete with them? They have Denzel Good coming back from an ACL. So, I mean, they have a lot of different pieces. I just don't know exactly where they all fit in. You know, I mean, even last season they gave their starting center a nice contract extension, but now they have Dylan Parham, who's a guy who might be able to play that center position. So it's like, where are they mixing and matching? Who's going to be there? I can tell you this for sure. The left tackle position is Colton Miller. I don't know anything else. The rest of the offensive line, I feel like, is up for grabs. And I think that's a good thing, right? I mean, everyone's got to go out there and earn their spot. So there's literally like four spots on the offensive line that these guys are all going to compete for. And I think that Mumford's going to be in the competition. Not saying he's going to start, but I can see him being, you know, backup one at either a tackle spot or a right guard spot. Or, yeah, whatever spot. I can see him being a backup for now, at least.
How is the culture? I know it's a few questions, but I want people to really understand more about what you do cover with the Raiders. What's the culture like when you have rookies coming in? Now, I say that because y'all just had a Buckeye on the team that just got cut. It's not on you, but what is the culture like out there? Is it one where Sin City, Vegas, where that is the thing and that kind of wraps in the takes control or takes over the rookies and they can't get outside of that? Or is the culture, the facility, the front office, is everybody more of a family feel and they just happen to be in Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is it takes a special person to be in Vegas. And, you know, I'm full disclosure, I'm 45. If I was 22 and I had a whole bunch of money, I don't know how I would do it. You know what I mean? Because there's so many opportunities. But it takes someone that's a pretty strong-minded person to realize that, hey, man, this is a profession. You're here to work. Yes, you know, you can have all the glitz and glamour of Vegas. But the community itself is fantastic. It's a great area. You know, Las Vegas is way more than just a strip. But right. a lot of people don't know that. You know what I mean? Like, the communities are fantastic. The housing is great. I mean, it's just so many opportunities here in Las Vegas. But if you get caught up in all the, you know, downtown, the strip action, you know, hanging out till 3, 4, 5 in the morning, I mean, trouble's bound to find you. You know, I don't care where you are after midnight, where they say nothing good, positive happens after midnight. It's true. And it really is true here in Las Vegas. So I think that what the Raiders have tried to do is really establish a culture where, hey, yes, we're here, but guys, we are outstanding citizens here in this community. I mean, think about this. Darren Waller is a recovering addict, and he lives here in Las Vegas, and he's killing it. You know what I mean? Like, he's been outstanding. Max Crosby, he's now 2 years sober. He's here in Las Vegas, just got a contract extension. He is, you know, a great citizen in this community. There's more great people in this community than there are knuckleheads. There's a couple of knuckleheads, like former Raider Damon Arnett, who just couldn't handle – I don't think he could handle life. I think the people in his corner aren't telling them the right things. They're just kind of like, yes, yeah, go ahead, because they were maybe guys that were getting paid off of him, you know, making their money off of him. So they just kind of gave him the green light. There's not guys who are knuckleheads, and then there's guys that have their mind on straight. And I think if you come to Las Vegas with a positive head, and you know what you're here to do, and you like establish your family or whatever you want to do, you know, outside of football, you'll be just fine. There's plenty of examples of great people here. There's also the couple guys that stand out that are knuckleheads. And like I said, Damon Arnett just happened to be one. I liked him. I thought he was going to have a potential to be a player, but he just couldn't figure it out. It's unfortunate.
Q, last thing for you here. What's two? I'm going to double it up because that's not bad. That's not good for the show, but I'm going to break some rules right now. One, do you think that there Mumford is going to make the 53-man roster? And then number two, do you think he's on the Raiders his entire rookie season?
Those are great questions. I think that he has an opportunity to. I really do. I just think that with this new regime in here, they're going to – obviously, they have no allegiance to anyone that was here before them. So, you know, they just recently declined the fifth-year options on all the 2019 first-round picks, and the Raiders had three of them. So they're obviously – they're not hell-bent on keeping the guys that were here before them. I do think that they saw something in Mumford. They saw him there in the seventh round and said, okay, you know what? We can work with this guy. We believe in our offensive line coach is going to come in here and put in some work. So, yeah, I do think – he might not make the 53-man roster. I could definitely see him making the practice squad, though. You know what I mean? Gotcha, and then earning his keep. And if he gets coached up and he's on the practice squad, he could end up like Jimmy Morrissey did a year ago, where the Houston Texans came and snatched him, and now he's their starting center. So I could totally see him, you know, getting snatched up off the practice squad if he earns his keep. But I think that he has a good inside shot of at least making the team in some capacity.
Q, this has been fun. Not enough time. I have to have you back on down the road. We do our Buckeye road trip around the NFL. Gonna do it again this offseason. Gonna have Q to come back. Going to talk about Jonathan Hankins and maybe some other Buckeyes that are there in Vegas doing their thing in the National Football League. Q, thanks for coming back on, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, man, anytime you call, you know I got you, man. It's always fun. I appreciate you.